Hello and welcome to episode 58 of Woman, Conversations for the Curious. I'm Amy Crawford, founder of the holistic ingredient brand and lifestyle store curated exclusively for women. This podcast series is dedicated to women seeking to enrich their lives with every drop of zest. I'm deeply passionate about fostering comfort and confidence as we explore the multifaceted world of womanhood together. In today's episode, I share my own difficult journey of anticipatory grief and finding solace amidst the impending loss of my dear dad. Anticipatory grief is a journey that many of us embark on when facing the imminent loss of someone we hold dear. It's a journey fraught with emotions, uncertainties, and profound changes. But it's also a journey of love, connection, and resilience. I delve into the depths of anticipatory grief, exploring its nuances, challenges, and unexpected moments of grace. Whether you're in the midst of this journey yourself or supporting someone who is, I hope this podcast serves as a beacon of understanding and validity for all that you experience. With love. Today's episode is brought to you by my best-selling raw organic maca powder, a blend of red, yellow, and black maca, sustainably sourced from the mountains of Peru. Maca has been used traditionally to naturally balance hormones, boost mood, promote stamina, build libido, and foster greater energy. You can add this delicious multi-flavored powder to your muesli, porridge, smoothie, bliss balls, or hot choc. Available now via my website, theholisticingredient.com. Okay, so full transparency, I think I'm right in saying this is the ninth time I've started trying to record this episode. And I've just made a personal commitment to myself that near enough is good enough and that you will understand in light of the subject matter if some of this information or some of these thoughts come tumbling out in a way that perhaps may not be as clear as it needs, but I will trust that the words will land where they need and that the right people will hear the right messages. So please bear with me as I do my best to navigate a particularly tricky subject matter. Now, as you know, today's episode is around my experience with anticipatory grief. I am not a grief expert. I did not know anything really about anticipatory grief until I was thrown into the thick of it during 2023. None of us get out of this life without an experience of grief. Some of us may not necessarily experience anticipatory grief if the loss of someone near us is sudden. But I just hope that through the sharing of my own story, it will bring some validity and some comfort and a sense of feeling seen in your own experience of grief and anticipatory grief and help you feel supported in some way. I'm pretty sure that should I have had a podcast to listen to or an article to read during my own experience, it would have perhaps softened some of the really challenging feelings I experienced. Some of the feelings might have been guilt, anger, detachment, just to have found some context for it all. Anyway, I'm rambling. Let's tuck in. So anticipatory grief can obviously be a hugely complex and challenging experience. And for want of a definition, it's the process of mourning, coping, and experiencing emotions associated with the impending loss of a loved one. Before that loss actually occurs. So as I said, this could be a really short experience. It could be a really protracted experience, but it's the type of grief that begins before the death of the person and can continue through the end of life. And it'll often occur in situations where a loved one is diagnosed with a terminal illness, as in my, well, actually it wasn't terminal. There was a 10% chance, but essentially a terminal illness, has a life-threatening condition or is facing a significant decline in health. So just for context, for my story, I'll just share a little bit about my experience around losing my father. And then what I'd like to do is touch on the emotions, the physical symptoms and other experiences I had during that time. So my personal journey of anticipatory grief was about 6 months long. It commenced in May 2023 when it kind of, there was a double whammy. We, us kids had a call from Dad letting us know that Mum had collapsed and was in hospital. For further context, Mum survived brain tumours and thyroid cancer about probably 14 years ago now, quite miraculously survived, but then needed a lot of physical support. And it changed Mum from that day because she had brain surgery, which was quite impactful. Several years later, my dad retired and became her carer. And towards the end of his life, this was a monumental job. It was 24/7 care, really, in the home. So he called to say that she'd collapsed and gone to hospital, where Mum stayed for about 6 weeks, I think, in the end. And then 3 days later, we had a message from Dad to say that he had been diagnosed with a tumour in his chest that was growing into his heart and lung, was encased in a artery, wasn't operable. But one oncologist had given him 10% chance. The other oncologist had given him no chance. Dad took the 10 and insisted that he would have chemo and radio and do everything he could to care for my mum until the moment he couldn't. He was one of the more stubborn humans you're likely to meet. Anyway, you can imagine that particular week was a significant one for us. It threw us all into a state of, don't know what the word is, perhaps don't even know what the word is, but it was a huge shock. And suddenly, you know, our lives started changing. So being as I am in Melbourne and my parents are in Launceston, this for many of us experiencing grief is a particularly difficult situation to find ourselves in. You know, us kids choose to live away from home for different reasons. I chose to move away from Tassie in the early 90s, and I've grappled with that because it's meant that, you know, I missed a lot of really special time with my parents. Excuse me. I'm probably going to pause a bit as we go through, but I know you'll understand. But it was right for me to be living in the various cities that I've lived in, and that was the choice that I made. But what comes, of course, is this kind of pointy end of your parents' life, trying to navigate that from afar. And we don't always have the opportunity to just pick up and move, whether it's the financial means, whether there's kids, whether, you know, whatever it is. But my situation was that I knew that I needed to get down and spend as much time with my family as I could, not knowing how long Dad had. And so my journey took me from Melbourne to Launceston every 2 weeks and then every week for about 6 months. This threw in added complexity in that it was utterly exhausting. I would kind of fly back to Melbourne on a Monday morning, straight into work, and then fly back down on Friday, really tired from a week of work whilst trying to navigate the emotion of what was happening in my life and keep my business and other things afloat, get back down to Launceston exhausted, but also wanting to take over and take the responsibility and the pressure off my family members who were there every single day, supporting my mum and dad. And this went on. And it was a constant feeling of just being on a roller coaster of hope and relief and fear and pain and sadness and grief. And oh, look, here's a glimmer of hope again. And oh, look, it's going to be okay. And then 2 days later, thrown into no, more bad news. Dad's declining, you know, and ultimately Dad went into hospital where he spent the last 2 months of his life in a ward without any natural light, refusing to go into the most beautiful palliative care centre because Dad, until his dying day, refused to believe that he was leaving us, which in itself makes the whole situation even more complex, as I know many of you will understand. So part of the complexity for me is that 2 months after we'd heard this news of my father, my store was launching, my now relatively new online store. And there was no opportunity to hit pause because as much as I would like to have done that, I had a house full of stock, which I'd purchased for the store to take the photography and to do the, just to build a new website that was just sitting there. And, part of the tricky nature of grief and the loss of loved ones in our lives is that life just doesn't stop, and we don't all have the opportunity to hit pause and just push everything aside so that we can just be in that moment dealing with our grief and with the difficult journey. You know, many well-meaning people told me that, you know, life can wait, work can wait, just be with your family, that's all that matters. And in, you know, honestly, this to me didn't make a lot of sense, because life doesn't wait. Work doesn't wait. The mortgage repayments don't wait. The bills don't wait. Kids, if you've got them, still need your support. None of that does. So somehow we need to find a way to navigate what we can whilst gradually figuring out which things along the way can fall away for a little while, which responsibilities you can let go of. So for me, there was, you know, there was that sort of double whammy of trying to process what on earth was going on down in Tassie and the imminent loss of my dad, whilst also trying to pick up the energy and the courage and the strength and the whatever else it is that I needed to launch this new online store. And, you know, and I was so excited about it. So there's grief with that, right? There's guilt with that. I was so excited about launching this store that I'd personally curated and put so much love and attention into. So excited. Whilst also feeling, you know, deep sadness and grief and guilt and all of these things. I hope you're finding meaning in what it is that I'm trying to say here. Anyway, I'll come back a couple of steps. So as we're experiencing anticipatory grief, there's a multitude of common signs and symptoms that all of us or some of us might experience. Signs and symptoms, so sadness, anxiety, guilt, anger, even relief, which is an interesting one. And of course, I think what's really, really important here is that we all remind ourselves that whatever comes up for us is valid and it's real. We're human, and feelings matter, and it's about giving ourselves permission to let us feel and be in whatever feeling or emotion comes up. So there would be days that I'd find myself, you know, flying back from Launceston, really emotionally exhausted, on the shower floor, feeling grief that was just so utterly immense, almost, I think, shocked at the depth of the pain that I was feeling. And then I'd catch myself questioning myself, why am I even crying? You know, he's still alive. He could still survive. Like, why? Look, Amy, stay in the present. And I'd try and force myself to stay in the present. Come on, back to the present. But the reality of his loss and the father I could never imagine losing was just screaming at me like a freight train. And so, again, all of this grief that we experience as we move through this journey matters. And I needed personally to keep reminding myself that it was all okay. And that if I wanted to sit in this place of fear and pain and grief as I imagine him leaving, because I think that's what else happened for me. I thought maybe I can perhaps, you know, this was futile as I've come to understand since losing Dad, but maybe I can help prepare myself for the pain that's going to come. Maybe if I just sit and I imagine him not being here. But if there's one thing I've learned about this experience of loss, is that nothing prepares you. Nothing. I don't think it matters how much time you've had to prepare for it. In my experience, nothing does, because nothing, until you've experienced that really significant hole, that loss, that absence of them being there, you just can't possibly imagine what that's going to feel like and be prepared for that. So all of the emotions, I felt a multitude, and I'm sure many of you, the listeners, have as well. So there was anger. You know, there was anger in Dad's inability to talk about the reality of the situation, to help us plan for Mum's future, to even talk about his situation to make him more comfortable. There was a sense of anger amongst the degree of stress that a lot of the family were dealing with, just getting Mum you know, and please know that I say this with great love for my parents, but we, you know, look from objectively, when you're looking at the situation, there were so many ways we could have made this a more easeful experience for all. So we move on from anger, and then there's of course guilt, which can just be so complex. You know, in my experience, it was guilt for not being there in Launceston, guilt for living away, guilt that I can't do as much for my parents as my siblings could being in Launceston, guilt for poor Andrew having to live with me as I dealt with this kind of what felt like daily misery. But then, of course, you know, conversely, there'd be these feelings of relief. You know, this relief might come in. It's like, soon, Dad, this pain's going to be over, and soon the struggle for all of us will be over, and everybody's lives will be able to settle down again. And then, you know, this feeling of relief would come in, and then the next minute there would just be guilt for the relief that I was experiencing. Like, it's just a quagmire of difficult emotion. And so in the best way I could, I would try and soften this, and I'll talk more about this in a tick, because that in itself is complex. But clearly self-care during this process is just so, so important. One experience that I had during this time on social media, because I was speaking reasonably openly about what was happening in my life. Well, you knew something was going on, perhaps my community knew there was something going on in Launceston. That I had suggested at one point that I would soon talk about the experience of anticipatory grief. And this was a tricky one, because it's a topic that is highly sensitive to many people, especially to those who have actually lost their parent or lost their loved one. And, you know, who of course might be pining for the opportunity to have this time back with them, and might of course have wished that they'd had that opportunity to be saying farewell and to be experiencing some last memories with them as the parent or loved one decline. And, you know, there was a sense of pushback to a degree that, you know, I should be grateful that I've even got this time. I should just honour every minute that I have. At least I've got this opportunity to say goodbye. But to me, and given my experience of watching what was a very painful and really ghastly decline in my father, the brutality of anticipatory grief was as real and as valid and almost as traumatic as the actual loss. And I don't think we can dismiss or overlook the trauma of that anticipation. And as well, not all of us have the opportunity to sort of say goodbye. Not all of us have the opportunity to say things, that to have a conversation with a loved one and to say the things we really love to say, because the loved one is not necessarily willing to receive or have that conversation. I grew up with a father who was in the law all his life, who was very pragmatic, who didn't wear his heart on his sleeve, who generally thought I was too sensitive and emotional, and had an ability to shut conversation down. And so I never lost Dad with the sense that, oh, I wish I'd said this, or I wish I'd said that. But equally, I never thought, oh, lucky me, I get to say what it is that I want to say, because I didn't have that ability. And obviously you need to understand that complex relationship between one daughter and her father. But equally, everyone's story is just so different here. Everyone's experience. Something that I did want to touch on was actually some of the physical symptoms that I experienced during the 6 months, because anticipatory grief can manifest in a whole host of different symptoms. Obviously, fatigue, without question, insomnia, headaches, muscle tension. I remember just, perpetually so tense. My shoulders felt like they're around my ears. And also appetite changes. I know that I lost a lot of my appetite, which is unusual for a food lover such as myself. But all of these feelings were exacerbated by the ongoing stress and emotional strain of anticipating the loss of Dad. I found it difficult to keep weight on. It just kept falling off. I felt like I was aging overnight. And perhaps, you know, In hindsight, it's interesting for me to sort of be, to consider this, but my capacity to care for myself fell away to a degree, which in itself played with my head. Again, coming back to the complexity of this, I knew that a healthy diet would support me, and I know all the self-care tools in the book. But in all honesty, there was a sense of, I've got bigger fish to fry. I can't be bothered to think about this today. And, you know, I've always been, or for a long time, been committed to hitting my designated steps every day and to eating a really good quality whole food diet and to not eating crap. I found that in the thick of this experience, there was also this energy of a who gives a shit, like, this is not important in this moment, and I'm just going to get through this day. I'm going to get through this day and just take some pressure off myself and just breathe and get through. So if there was a block of dark chocolate that needed to be eaten, I would. And if there was a bag of crisps that Andrew would bring home at the end of his working day and they bought me some comfort, that's what I did. And I really feel that self-care is so important, but so is just navigating this in the best way that you can, in as softly and gently as is possible. Now, another experience that I had was a real feeling of loneliness, and certainly that comes with death, but this of course is an intensely personal journey. And really, what I came to understand was the only people in your life who can understand to a degree what it is you're experiencing are your siblings, if you're fortunate to have any, right? Like, they are the only people. Even your mother is experiencing, or your other parent, if they're still around, is experiencing something very different to you. So your siblings are the only people to understand, but they too are on their own journey and maybe processing their experience and dealing with it very differently to you. So it can feel, and I did feel, very lonely in this experience. I found it very difficult to talk to friends about it. There was some comfort in talking to friends who understood, who have been on this journey, who could more closely understand the enormity of it. But I found, as the weeks went by and as I became more and more exhausted, I retreated into myself more and more. I found it actually, interestingly or conversely, I found it easier to talk to my social media community than possibly calling up a friend. I suppose I could just share my thoughts and let it go in that instance. It's a little bit difficult when it's a one-way conversation, a little bit different when it's a one-way conversation. Having said that, just the knowledge that others had walked this path, survived it, and were now able to smile in the memory of their loved ones lost, that brought me great strength. And so hearing from so many beautiful members of my community around what they'd navigated it, how they'd navigated it, how they managed to get through, was immensely supportive for me. And I think, honestly, if I could think about a wonderful way to support those close to you who are experiencing something similar, it was the simple messages of love and support that I found the most supportive, the most caring. I don't think telling someone how to grieve is necessarily helpful. I found that very overwhelming, because a lot of people really want us to feel better. They want to share their experience. But for me, the simple messages of, I'm here for you, please don't reply, I just want you to know I'm thinking of you, or just sending me love hearts, was enough. Just the recognition that somebody is there and understands that what you're experiencing is deep and difficult, and to help you feel seen. So I suppose amidst all of that, what I'd like to say is, you know, whatever emotions arise during this time, whatever experience we are witnessing of someone leaving us, it's all valid. you know, where you can, it's really healthy to acknowledge and express your feelings. I suppose I did that through social media and through talking with my community, but it could be through journaling, talking to a friend or a therapist, and engaging in any number of self-care activities that feel right for you. For me, I walked. I didn't walk as much as I used to, but I did lots of small walks during the day. If I could feel myself really struggling, I would just get my dog and just go out into the sunshine and get some fresh air. I found that really, really useful, especially to support any feelings of anxiety in my body. Having said that, these, you know, something else that I experienced that may resonate with others was a sense of numbness quite often. And I'd wake up and just feel numb. And then I'd be like, why? Have I already processed this grief? Am I already accustomed to the idea of losing Dad? How could I possibly, where are my feelings? Why am I not sad? Which can be really confusing. And I think along with that also a sense of detachment. So I know a coping mechanism for me was coming back from Launceston on a Monday, knowing I had to go to work. Wanting to go to work though, right? With a sense of guilt, but really wanting to go to work. And so I became, I think, a pretty good compartmentalizer. I sort of detached myself from what was happening. And that left guilt too, because I knew that my brothers were down in Launceston, still in the thick of it, still doing the 2 or 3 hour round trip, getting my mother to hospital to see Dad every day, still by his bedside every day. Still in the emotion and the memory of growing up with mum and dad in Launceston. And here I was back in Melbourne without those sort of connections to my family and able to put my mind on the job and compartmentalize, which, you know, was healthy in many respects. It helped me get through, it helped me cope. All of this to say, what a mess of emotion it is, right? What a mess of a journey. And an emotion it really is, and just so intensely confusing. Aside from this as well, so we've got, you know, all these emotions, these physical symptoms, the loneliness you experience, the detachment, the numbness, but also there's all these sort of existential concerns that come up. So, you know, grappling with these questions of the meaning of life. Like, I never really have spent a lot of time pondering the meaning of life, but let me tell you, during that journey, and certainly since Dad's death, there's been numerous conversations in my head of what even is the point? Like, almost laughable now. Like, what is even the point? If this is what I've got to experience, if this is the pain, why am I even here? And what is the point? And God, so all of this, and I'm just going to die in, you know, 30, 40 years. Like, just so many questions and so much deep questioning around my own beliefs and my own values and my own priorities, and all of this comes up for all of us. And I think, you know, this is really important that we seek out spiritual support, or, you know, any sort of comfort and solace through spiritual or even religious practices that might help you navigate such a challenging time. And then, of course, something I touched on during the year was, you know, some of the blessings that come out of such difficult experience, of which, you know, if we look closely enough, we can always find. And certainly within our family, what we found in each other was some really amazing support, and deep love for the family unit. And I know that my connection with my brothers strengthened as a result. I was so deeply appreciative of their depth of care and attention and love for my parents and their effort. You know, one of my brothers took on the responsibility of managing all of Dad's end of life financials, of which I would have been absolutely no support. But also the complexity of putting my mother in a nursing home, which we navigated during this time. As lots of you I know would know, that is not for the faint-hearted. Just the experience of putting a loved one into a nursing home comes with an enormous amount of emotion and strain. The paperwork for a start. You know, it was just the coming together of the family and the the role changes within the family, you know, that sense of the kids are now caring for the parents. It's just, it was a really interesting thing to observe and experience. And through that, obviously what we're able to bring to each other is the creation of some really lovely, meaningful moments. And some of these moments of just bringing the family together, you know, I'd go down to Launceston and for a while I was staying with my dad while he was still at home, but that became immensely difficult and emotional because I couldn't support him. I couldn't care for him physically. But then spending time with my brothers, with closer family members, having some really lovely conversations and spending some time together that we wouldn't otherwise have spent was really beautiful and will always hold a very special place in my heart. Just that lovely quality time, the tenderness, the noticeable love for each other is that felt just truly heartfelt and brought great courage and a sense of strength to the experience. You know, obviously the anticipated grief that we experience gives some of us, as I've said, the opportunity to prepare for the morning, and it gives some of us the opportunity to process the saying goodbye to their loved one, to have the meaningful conversations, to say whatever it is that's been left unsaid. And if you have that opportunity, then, you know, I would encourage you to use that opportunity where you can. But as I said, it's not always possible for all of us. And though you could be listening and saying, well, can't you surely say what it is that you want to say? Well, knowing my father as I do, sometimes it's easier just to keep things in rather than need to deal with a response that isn't as you hope that it might be. So I might just leave that one there. I think I'll come to the end fairly shortly. It has been a little bit difficult to think really clearly as I'm trying to get these words out. But what I did want to say towards conclusion is that I have found and did find some comfort in the difficulties that I was experiencing, and especially in realizing that we really are so much stronger than we might ever have imagined. And we really do have the capacity to get through immense challenges in our life. And what has occurred to me since is there is just so much wisdom in death, and so much wisdom that can be found in grief. And also, you know, perhaps sadly, so much resilience. And I feel now that I can look back on it with a little less emotion, so much better prepared to support others in my life who will have similar experiences, so much better prepared to navigate challenges in my life. And actually on this, something I have found quite interesting to observe is, you know, some beautiful family friends of ours who've been in my life for 50 years who speak about this loss of their friends so pragmatically, because they're so accustomed to loss and the circle of life. And, you know, I remember saying to one of my family friends, it really surprises me that so many people actually survive grief. The pain is so deep, it really surprises me that we have the capacity to get through it. And her response was, well, we have to. We don't have any other choice. It was just sort of so pragmatic. And I thought, well, you know, this person was sort of late 70s. She has navigated several deaths in her life, and she's come out the other side, and she's found a way to manage that process. And as so many of you have said to me in our communication online and through social media, you know, it doesn't necessarily get easier. Well, actually, I would say that it does. In my experience, the acute pain is softening. But what some of you have said, it doesn't get easier, but you just find a new way, that you find a way to wear it. And that's very true. You just find ways to wear that grief in your day to day. I don't think you necessarily find ways to wear the anticipatory grief, because that just ebbs and flows with the enormity of, you know, the changing emotion as you're experiencing their decline. But the thing I think that we all need to come back to is, it's going to sound really simplistic, but it's the fact that we are human. and every feeling matters, and whatever it is that we need to do to support ourselves through such a difficult time, we call on that. That we also the knowledge that we don't have to do this alone. I feel very grateful that I have a husband who rose to the occasion like I could never have expected. Andrew just took over our household responsibilities, and I feel so very grateful. If, you know, this had happened a few years ago when I'd been on my own, it would have been a very difficult experience, a very different experience. So I was fortunate to have Andrew to lean on, and I think it's so important that we do find people, the right people. We surround ourselves with people who can hold us, cocoon us, and support us through this without any expectation. And, you know, I think actually that's something I've not touched on, which is really sort of the matter of friendships that I just didn't have the capacity to tend to during this time. And I literally just had to tell myself that those that mattered would still be there, they'll understand, and they will always be there. And they will trust that I will come back to the friendship, to water the friendship when I had the capacity. But self-preservation during this time, and obviously the matter of family, needs to take priority and focus. So I hope in the sharing of some of this, my thoughts and feelings, no matter how rambled they've come out, will help you on your own journey, or may even provide some clarity or some different ways for you to comprehend what it is that you're dealing with, and perhaps even just put some words around the tricky feelings that you are experiencing. So thank you for listening, and know that I am sending you all the love and energy that I can muster to help support you through a difficult period of your life. I hope that you've been able to find a little bit of clarity amongst the jumble of words that I have shared today. But also I'd just like to send as much love and compassion and empathy to those of you who are experiencing this time in your lives currently. Know that you are loved. Know that you are supported, and whatever it is that you're experiencing or feeling today is perfectly okay and exactly as it needs to be. Lots of love. This was episode 58 of Woman, Conversations for the Curious. You'll find all relevant show notes over at theholisticingredient.com/58. As always, if you're enjoying the series and you've got 2 minutes to leave a review on your favourite podcast app, I'd really appreciate it. Until next time, stay curious.